some of my friends, after we had dinner, they will just say, "Fuya!" And I said, "What are you doing? Why are you shouting at these people? Is something wrong? Is the place on fire?"
Mm-hmm.
And my friends will tell me, "No, that's the way that we do."
Yeah.
And then the waiter will come running and ask if you need something.
Yeah, otherwise they will never.
No, otherwise they will not hear. But now I do the same.
Yeah, you do the same.
I go and I say, "Fuya, my done, sai done," and I don't even feel guilty about it. And they just say, yeah.
大家好，我是 Rice Panda， 欢迎来到无限可能。这是一档人物访谈类型的播客节目，每一期我会邀请我的中外朋友在节目中分享他们的个人经历，听不同人的故事，感受不一样的人生，一起探索更多可能性。你目前可以在喜马拉雅、小宇宙收听该节目，当然你也可以关注我的公众号 Rice Panda 大米熊，了解更多播客有关的内容。本期节目邀请到我的朋友 Chris， 他来自遥远的南非，在中国生活和工作已经超过12年，目前是一名雅思培训的外教老师。我觉得他是一个非常有趣非常幽默的人，每次跟他聊天都会特别开心，所以我邀请他作为本期的嘉宾。我好奇他在中国的一些经历，特别好奇他在中国有没有碰到一些尴尬有趣或者是不一样的一些经历。听了今天的节目之后，如果你有更多的问题也欢迎留言，我会尽量收集到这些留言问题，后续能够和 Chris 再做一个留言回复的播客。Hello everybody, welcome to my podcast, where you can listen to different people.And try to learn something new to explore more possibilities of your life. Our special guest today is my friend Chris, who has been in China for more than 12 years. I've been to around 30 countries in my world journey, and I know it's not easy for me to adapt to the new environment. Food, culture, people, and everything else are still challenges for me, especially at the beginning of my arrival. So I'm wondering how my friend Chris can spend more than 12 years in China, and hopefully,I will know a bit more about my friend and his special stories in China. Hi, Chris. How are you doing today?
Hello, Rice Panda. Fine, and you?
Thank you for being my very first foreigner guest on my podcast show. And have you ever done any podcast with somebody else?
You're welcome. No, I have never done this. This is my very, very first time, so I feel very honored. Thank you.
So it is my great honor to have you here today. First of all, can you introduce yourself a little bit to our listeners?
Sure.My name is Chris, and I am from South Africa, sunny South Africa, very far away from China, of course, and I've been living here, as Rice Panda said, for 12 years now. By profession, I'm a teacher. Currently, I'm teaching IELTS at a local training center here in the center of Chengdu, and it is very fascinating, and it is a wonderful opportunity to meet different kinds of people.
So what brought you to China? And did you still remember the first day you came to China?
You're right, Spanda. That is a question. You know what? I can vividly remember, and many things brought me here, many reasons. But one of the main reasons that I came to China is I always wanted to explore, and I wanted to learn about different cultures. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, this opportunity arose for me to come to China.And then I thought, I will be stupid if I don't do that. So I decided, yes, give it a try. If it doesn't work, you can always go back. Then got on the plane, did all my preparations, got on the plane, flew to China. And that was my first time 12 years ago, and very, very excited, but also, of course, very nervous. But here I am, and I love every moment of it.
Do you still remember the first day when you arrived in
yes,
China?
Oh, yes, I do. Will I ever forget that? You know what? There's actually a story behind that. I always tell the people.
Mm-hmm.
When I flew from South Africa to China, I felt very nervous. And I actually wanted to ask the pilot to turn around and say, please, I don't want to go anymore. Because I didn't know what to expect on the other side. But once here, it was fine. And then I flew from...Hong Kong to Chengdu, that was another, I think, I cannot remember, it's about 2.5 hours flight. And I ended up next to this middle-aged lady that I think she took pity on me because she could see that I was quite nervous coming here. And actually, it felt to me, you know,
yeah.
I was the only foreigner, only Lawai on that plane. Wow. Of course, there must have been other people, but I didn't notice them. And she started speaking to me, of course, everything in Chinese. And I didn't even know the word ni hao at that time. I didn't know anything about China. So my only thing that I did, I was just smiling to the people and tried to be very friendly. And I thought in that way, I will be okay, which was true.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I thought at one stage, this lady is just talking to me the whole time. And I don't know what she was telling me, but I'm sure she asked me to marry her.
Mm-hmm. How did you know?
I don't know. I just got that feeling. I just got the feeling this is now very casual and romantic. What does this woman want?
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I'm new here. You don't even know me. And now you want to get married. I would have said yes. I'm sure I would have, because I was in the desperate need of knowing people and to know what I can do here. And I thought, oh, she might be my savior to help me here. So that was the first day.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got here in Chengdu in the middle of the winter, it looked terrible.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
There was no color and there was nothing. You must remember, for me coming from South Africa and then all of a sudden in wintertime in China, everything is dull.
Mm-hmm.
Pollution.
Yes.
I wasn't ready for that. So for me, it was actually a bit of a shock.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what have you let yourself in? But of course, I knew it was winter and it would change.
Yeah. So what's the weather like in South Africa?
Always hot. But in winter, a lot of rain. The seasons, of course, is in a different way. At this moment, it is high. It's very cold. It's winter, not mm-hmm. high summer. And windy. A lot of wind because of the two oceans. And I'm very fortunate to live very close to the ocean in South Africa. And here everything is inland. But you know what? It is also the excitement, that feeling of everything. If you turn a corner, everything is new. You don't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm. So when you came to Chengdu, do you have any friends here?
I only had a South African friend here, and that was my solace, I can say, to help me, to comfort me here.
Mm-hmm.
So I put 100% of my
trust
and expectation in him, and he really did help me. But it was very cold at that time.
Oh, you came to here in wintertime?
Yes, I came here actually on New Year's Day, on Chinese New Year's Day, the 25th of January 2009. I arrived here, and that evening there was just fireworks all over. And I was very tired, but also very excited.
Yeah.
And we went for walking alongside the river to make me more familiar about it. And of course, that evening I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
I was too excited.
Yeah. So how was the jet lag? Did you get that?
Yeah, I did. Not so much jet lag the following day, but about a few days later, I felt a little bit, because the time difference is 6 hours.
Yeah.
But it was a 12-hour flight from South Africa to China and a layover in Hong Kong and then here. So it was a little bit tiresome, but I got over that very quickly. Yeah. And then I just wanted to see. I told my friend, take me to shops, take me to a park, take me to these places that you've been talking to. I want to see these places with my own eyes. And you know what? Then he actually gave me one of his e-bikes. He had a spare e-bike and he said to me, you can use this. Now, I have never, ever been on an e-bike before in my life. I can ride a bicycle, but an e-bike was completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, no, you could master that. It's okay. Just follow my friend wherever I go. But you know, everyone is having e-bikes here. Some people is driving like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Some people is so slow. And you have to be cautious and you have to be, and it was dangerous, I suppose.
But you tried it.
I tried it. Oh, and I thought, what if I fell down? What will I do? But that luckily never happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was very slow in the beginning, but after a while you get the hang of it. You just open it, you floor it.
Yeah, and also you get used to the traffic.
You get used to the traffic.
In China.
And I also had to get used to the people, a lot of people around me. I was not used to that.
Mm-hmm. So you came to China like, just out of blue, right?
No, it was not out of the blue. It was not out of the blue. Certain things made me to come to China, or I had the opportunity to come here. Personal things that happened to me. One of the reasons I did was I was very close to my mom. And just about 5-6 months before I came to China, she passed away.
Well,
and I thought that might be, and my friend also thought that might be a good solution for me to get over her death. And then I thought, yeah, try something new. I didn't have that obligation anymore to take care of an old person anymore or whatever. I was actually free to do whatever I want.
Yes.
So I thought, give it a try. If you don't like it, you can always go back.
So that's why you...
That's
to China.
No, that's one
far
of the
away
reasons.
From your country.
No, that's one of the reasons I've chosen to come to China. But also, I like traveling, and I always wanted to see what the East looks like. You must know, your country was always close to the outside world, and gradually you started opening. So, and that was an opportunity for me to come.
You have never been to China before?
Before, I've never set foot in the East. I've read about China, and you know it. Western people is actually very ignorant about China. What I knew about China was the Great Wall and the color red, Beijing, Shanghai, of course, and that is a large population of people.
Yeah.
And also China's dirty.
Mm.
And that is the perception that most of foreigners have of your country.
Yes.
And now I've been living in China for 12 years, I have to say that people have a misperception about China. That is completely not true. But Rice Panda, I have to tell you, I had to get used to the food. That was something different.
Yeah.
I'm used to curry, garlic, but not spicy food.
So how did you feel at the beginning in Chengdu?
The food for me was the big thing. Everyone was eating spicy food and I was not used to spicy food. The spicy food that we eat or that I grew up with is actually more Indian curry, garlic, but not really spicy food. People don't really eat that. So my first experience in China, which my friend, South African friend, wanted to introduce me, is to take me for hot pot.
Yes, definitely.
Fuo guo. That was a big mistake.
How come?
No, we went there and I thought to myself, I need to be very polite because there was other Chinese people there that he wanted me to befriend so that I can feel more at ease in China. And of course, I appreciate that. But we were eating, you know what? And I was that evening, I thought, what am I eating? I'm chewing. And this thing just stays in my mouth. It doesn't want to dissolve. And I'm swallowing and nothing is happening. And the more I eat, the hotter I became. And my mouth was on fire. That evening, the first evening that we've done that, I drank 5 beers. Mm-hmm. I was drunk as a skunk. When we got home, I was really drunk as a skunk. And the next day, stomach ache, tutsu, busufu, 2 days.
Oh my God.
And then I thought, never again in my life, I'm going to eat hot pot again.
Yeah.
But now it is different. After 12 years, my body tells me, spicy, spicy, spicy.
So you just get used to the spicy food.
Yeah, you get used to it. What is the saying? If you can't win them, join them.
So for the first time when you're eating the hot pot, do you like eat something weird?
Yes.
Like completely different from what you have in South Africa?
Yes, I thought it was disgusting.
Like pig brain, blood.
Like pig brains and those things. And the little slivers of meat that you put in there. You have to eat a ton of that in order to taste it like meat. Because you put it in the hot pot for 2 seconds or 8 seconds or 6 seconds. It depends what kind of meat it is, of course. There was no taste for me.
Yeah.
Even if you put a potato in the oil, I only taste the spiciness. There's no flavor. Everything tastes the same. You can put a piece of paper in there and eat it. But gradually, of course, your palate change over the years. And now, once again, I eat hot pot, not as much as you guys, but perhaps once or twice every second month I will eat.
Are there some other weird food have you ever tried in China?
Yes, of course. I've eaten rabbit head, which I have never done before. It looked very weird, but surprisingly, the taste was not that bad. Whether I would order it by myself if I go to a restaurant, I doubt it. But if I go, for example, if I go and eat with you and you order it, of course, I will eat that.
So basically, you will love to try something new, maybe it sounds scary to you.
Yes, to taste. Quickly, I've learned, and I think you guys have the same experience. Quickly, I've learned that food might look good on the plate and then it tastes horrible.
Yeah.
And just the other way around. It looks terrible, but if you actually taste it, it's quite delicious.
Yeah. Have you ever tried sticking tofu?
No, that I don't.
No, that was horrible.
That is absolutely, you know what? The first time that I've smelled that smell, I thought somebody died. It is a, no.
It really smells bad.
I will never eat that. I don't know how you get it past your nose.
Mm.
But that is something where I will draw the line. But other things, I know that now one of my students used to ask me, do I eat chicken feet? And I said, what do you mean chicken feet? I'm from Africa. We eat chicken feet. That is okay. That is a dish that we eat there.
So how about intestine?
I eat. I grew up with that.
You know, all the
sheep brains I've eaten and all those things. My mother used to cook a lot of offal when I was a little boy. So we use it. But we cook it with garlic, with curry.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much spicy. But yes, I will eat that.
So have you? So basically you try a lot of food, right? Lahari, kidney,
yes.
Stomach, tripe, liver,
all those things.
All kinds of organs. Yeah. So it's going to be fine for you, right?
It's very fine for me. I don't mind eating.
I think that sounds like that's what travelers or, you know, we should do.
Yes, I think you have to. Mm-hmm. You have to. And that which you don't like, you can set aside. It's not that I won't eat tofu. I don't really like tofu. I know that there's more than 200 ways to prepare tofu.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like the taste.
Yeah. But you don't like the texture?
No. If you, for example, if you invite me to your home and you serve me tofu, I will eat it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I don't eat it, but on my own, I will never.
But you don't like it.
No,
yeah.
I never. Yeah. But my favorite food in China is, of course, dumplings.
Dumplings?
Chinese simple dumplings, jiaozi. But it have to be spicy now. That I can eat every day.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm addicted to that.
Yeah.
And when I came here, I went to Jiangsu province and I taught there for a year at a university, science and technology in Changjiagang, close to Wuxi and Suzhou. And I've learned how to say the word gombao jiding. So whenever I was alone and I went into a Chinese restaurant, I just said gombao jiding, gombao jiding.
Yeah.
And when I came here to Chengdu after a year and I went to the street restaurants, and I was very confident and I thought, okay, now I'm going to order gombao jiding.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, was it spicy. There it is sweet, but quickly I adapted to that.
So before you came to China, do you know anything, you know, about China, Chinese food?
Nothing.
Do you have any like stereotype or conception about Chinese food?
You know, we have Chinese restaurants in South Africa, but they don't cater for Chinese people. Chinese food is completely different. No. Now that I've been living in China for 12 years now, I know exactly what Chinese food is supposed to be. But they cater for the people in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So the food there is completely different. If you go and you order perhaps sweet and sour pork, it is completely different from the sweet and sour pork here.
In China. Yeah.
In China.
Yeah.
Which I think Chinese one is much more better.
So when you go to different places in China, would you love to try the local food? Even maybe it's a little bit weird.
Yeah, I do.
But you would like to try it.
I do. And what I actually prefer is to take a friend with me or to befriend someone there that can show me the ropes.
Yeah.
And what to do and what not to eat. On my own, I won't do it. But yes, I like to try to do that.
Yeah. And also, I think that's the spirit of traveling. So when I was, you know, in America, I always try two challenges. Mm. First, I will get a restaurant and I'll look at the menu.
Yes.
If there's a picture, which one looks good or which one looks weird, I would choose that.
Yeah.
Another.
But there's always something wrong with the picture.
Yeah, but I think it's worth a shot.
Yeah.
So there's not strategy I would take is I will think about number in my mind. Okay, give me number 8. Give me number 7. I don't know what it is.
And sometimes you're utterly surprised for what is put in front of you.
I have no idea. Even sometimes, you know, there's a name about the food.
Yeah.
I know the meaning of the words, but when they put it together, I don't know what it is.
No, it's completely different.
Yeah, but I would love to try it. I think that's spirit of traveling when you're going.
For me also, if I go to a Chinese restaurant on my own here sometimes, which I have to, luckily most of the restaurants, they have the menu for with pictures. So I just point at them and say, Zega, Zega, Yao, Buyao, Buyao, Zega, Zega, Zega. And then I just hope for the best. But you know what? I always, and that is from the very beginning, and I think that is that helped me a lot. I came to your country with an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell myself, you are a guest in China. Yeah. So you have to obey by the rules and regulations. And I think that is that helps me a lot.
Mm.
Because you, there are many things that you guys do that I think, wow, what are you doing? Why do people do that? Why do you eat with an open mouth? Why do you yawn? You don't put your hand in front of your face when you yawn or you sneeze. That is rude. And another thing that I found, well, I found it now very funny, but when somebody's talking to you and you will respond, if you didn't hear it correctly, you would say, ah. Now, in Western culture, that is rude. I think if I did that when I was young, my father would slap me through the face. We don't say, ah, or you say, what?
What?
That was something for me to get used to in the beginning. But now I also do that.
Yeah.
I'm Chinese.
Yeah, you're Chinese. Definitely happy here for many years.
And of course, many funny things that happened.
You have been to different cities in China, right?
Sure.
So why you choose Chengdu as your place for, sitting down?
You know, it just happened that the friend that I had that was living in China at that time that I wanted to come to China, he was living in Chengdu. So that is how I ended up. And then I applied for a job from South Africa, and we used Chengdu as a reference.
Okay.
And then I got a position at a training school in Chengdu. And so that's how I ended up in Chengdu. But once I got here, the training school sent me for the same IELTS course to Zhangjiagang in Jiangsu province. So there I left for two semesters. And actually, I have to tell you in all honesty, Jiangsu province and Wuxi and Suzhou, those places were actually my Chinese learning experience. This is where I've learned about that, about China.
Yeah.
Because the people are so friendly. You guys are very friendly.
Mm-hmm. Chinese people are very friendly.
Yes, my Chinese friend says it's about the face. I have the Lawai face.
So yeah, it's usually for Lawai.
That's what they do. Sometimes I feel like a big fish in a very small pond, and people just give attention.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, people were stopping me in the street and they just take a lot of pictures of me. I felt like a celebrity. And especially the children, they would say, Mama, Baba, Lawai, 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 Lawai. Which I love, of course.
Yeah.
Now I just tell them, Wubushalawai, which is Jingduren.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, ah, Jingduma. But anyway, I've learned about China in Jiangsu province, and the people were friendly there, and my students embraced me, and they, on weekends, they took me on trips to museums and to art galleries and to parks and tea houses.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very nice opening learning curve for me about China.
Yeah. So basically, as beginning, you got friend in Chengdu. So that's why you arrived in Chengdu first. And also, he gave you the reference for working. And then you got the job from the training school. Center. And then you went to the Jiangsu province for how long?
1 year.
For 1 year.
1 year.
And also maybe you have been traveling around.
Yes, from China, there, right? I went to Beijing, and I went to Shanghai, and I went to places around Tianjin, and those places I went around. Because for the year, I had the opportunity to do that. And then I came back to Chengdu, and living in Chengdu ever since.
Yeah, so you have been to different cities in China.
Yes.
But right now you still, kind of settled down in Chengdu. So why do you choose Chengdu instead of other cities to settle down?
Because my friend was here in Chengdu at the time. So it was easy, because when I came to Chengdu, remember, I didn't have a place to stay in. So I stayed with him from South Africa. We were actually in the military service two years together. That's where I've met him. We were in the army.
Yeah.
In my days, when I was younger, it was still compulsory. You had to go to the army. That's where we met each other. And coincidentally, he's also a teacher.
Mm.
So we had that connection with one another.
So I think it's always been good if, you know somebody at that place, maybe you can.
You have to.
You help each other, you support with each other.
I don't think that's going to put you through
at the beginning.
Yes, and I don't think you can come to a foreign country, especially in a country where non-speaking English and you don't have that support system. It was very important for me to have that, because I don't think I would have made it if I were on my own in the beginning.
Yeah.
Now it is a different ball game. I can do that. But in the beginning, it was impossible, really impossible. So I'm forever grateful for my friends. My friend is not living in China anymore. He went back to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm back here.
Yeah.
I'm still here.
So do you like Chengdu?
I love Chengdu.
So what kind of things do you like in Chengdu?
Well, I love everything in Chengdu.
Tell me it's everything.
No, I do. I love the people. I love the atmosphere. I love the food. You know what? As the saying goes, when you come to Chengdu, you cry. And when you have to leave Chengdu, you also cry. And as a foreigner, I regard it now as my hometown. Let me tell you, I'm in the habit of going back to South Africa once a year for a holiday. And 1 year I was flying back from South Africa to Hong Kong. And as we were flying about 5 minutes or 10 minutes in the air, I had this weird feeling in my mind, this weird gesture or this weird image just come in my mind. And I thought, I'm going home.
Yeah.
And I'm leaving my country and I'm going home. I'm going to China.
So you really get used to the China. Also, you love everything here in China.
In all honesty, if I can stay here forever, I would. The language barrier makes it a little bit difficult, but I live the same way that you live in China. The only difference is the language barrier, but I go around and I buy things that I want to buy. The basic necessary things I can do, I have no problem with that. But deep conversations, no, that is still a little bit tricky for me.
So how is your Chinese level right now?
My Chinese level is like a baby. I know all the bad words in Chinese, of course, and you know what, as
The curse words and the
friends can teach me all the bad words, and then they think it's very funny if I repeat that. And they always tell me, say this word, say this word. And then I say, what is the meaning of that word? They don't want to tell me. And after I've repeated 10 or 5 times and they are satisfied with my pronunciation, they will tell me what you've said.
It's really bad words, I mean.
Yes, some words I cannot repeat, but some words it's okay. It's funny.
Yeah, like guawazi.
And they always tell me if a foreigner say that, you guys in Chinese find it very funny. But if you say that, it's just normal.
Yeah, it's normal. But
if a foreigner will say that, yes.
Yeah.
I know bad words. I also know the word TMD.
Yeah. So, like, you have been here for, like, 12 years.
Yes.
So, what are the reasons, like, you think, you know, are the reasons you stay here for 12 years? Like, you know, especially in Chengdu or, like, in China? Like,
not necessarily in Chengdu, but Rice Panda, you know what? I came here for the initial thought that I would only be here for about 2 or 3 years to get a little, to gain more experience and to see what the East is like. I wanted to see what it's like. And then something happened. Remarkably, something happened to me. I fell in love with your country and I fell in love with the people. And now I don't want to live anywhere else.
Okay.
I now go this far to say, you know what, I have a yellow heart. I think in my previous life I was Chinese.
Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe you're Chinese.
Perhaps, yes.
Yeah, I that's why you're stuck here. And,
yeah, that's
you don't want to go?
No, I don't want to go back home. Mm-hmm. I want to go back home to visit my home and to see my family and to see my friends, but I want to come back here.
Yeah, yeah. So at the beginning of your life in Chengdu, do you feel like any uncomfortable things happened to you?
Oh, yes.
Like you miss your, like how to say, your country, miss your relatives, miss the food, and then you got kind of the homesick feelings.
I didn't really get homesick, but I did miss the food and I did miss my family, my two sisters and my brother. I did miss them and I did miss the language, the Nanfeihua language to speak, because all of a sudden everything is in English. English is not my mother tongue either. I speak Afrikaans when I go back home. So I only started speaking in earnest English when I came to China. Of course, I learned English the same way as you from school.
Yeah.
But we didn't use English every day as a language.
So what is your mother tongue? African?
Afrikaans.
Afrikaans.
Afrikaans. Dis heeltemal 'n ander taal wat jy glad nie sal verstaan nie, dan gaan jy vir jou luisteraars sê, hulle verstaan glad nie wat hy vir jou sê nie.
Okay.
To translate that is, you would tell your listeners they won't understand what he has just said to you.
Mm-hmm. So how many languages you speak right now?
No, I'm just bilingual, only English and Afrikaans.
African and English.
Yeah, Afrikaans and English. Afrikaans comes from Dutch.
Dutch.
So German, Dutch and Afrikaans, Nanfeihua, is sister languages. Mm. They belong to one another.
Yeah. I mean, you studied in Chengdu, but also you traveled to other places.
Yes, I've been to Europe before. I've not as many countries as you, of course, but I've traveled in Europe and I've traveled to Turkey. But China was my first country in the East.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've been to a few countries around China.
So right now, your base is in Chengdu.
Yes.
But still, you start traveling in different places in China or also abroad.
Yes, I would like to do my itinerary, as I can mention it. I go back to South Africa once a year, but now because of COVID, it's a little bit different. I go back to South Africa once a year, but then I also make sure that I travel to other countries close to China, like
Southeast Asia.
Yeah, Indonesia and Thailand and the Philippines. And the initial plan was last year to go to Japan.
Yeah.
But then COVID happened.
COVID happens. Yeah, that's what happened to me. I started traveling around the world like a couple of years ago. Mm. And also when I was in India, the COVID-19 happened.
Mm.
And I came back to China. I never, get outside of China.
Hopefully next year we would be able to travel again.
Hope so. Freely. Yeah, we can travel together.
Yeah, we can travel freely. Yeah. I've never been to Japan. You have been.
I've been there. Wow. No, I've never been there.
I would like to see that.
Yeah, I want to go to South Korea, Japan.
They tell me it's so clean over
there. Yeah, yeah. And also, I think most of people who have been to Japan tell me, like, oh, yeah, I should go. Like, and also, Mark.
Yes.
He has been to Japan for a couple of times. He still want to go back. So I was wondering why so many people, still want to go back to Japan.
A friend of mine that has
a
Chinese restaurant here, he took his wife for a honeymoon in Japan.
Yeah.
And ever since, I've been married now for 6 years, and ever since I've been back 4 times now.
Yeah.
I also want to go to Japan. What is the food like there?
I don't know. I mean, sushi. I tried it, but I'm not sure if this is real
sushi.
Authentic. If you want to try authentic one, you should go to Japan.
I should try everything then.
Yeah.
Perhaps I like it. Perhaps I might.
Are there any other cities you like in China?
Oh, yes. 1 year during Spring Festival, as coming from sunny South Africa, we don't really experience snow.
Okay.
So for me to be in a place that is snow is like a little boy. I feel like I can jump up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Harbin. Oh, bitterly cold.
I've never been there.
I've never been so cold in
my
life.
How was it?
I've only been there for a couple of days, I think about 4 days, but it was absolutely worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It was so beautiful. I primarily went for the ice sculptures and the ice festival.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see that. And my Chinese friends, when I came back, they asked me, Did you see a lot of foreigners? I said, I don't know. Everything is covered up. You don't see faces. You only see the ice. I don't know whether they are Chinese or not Chinese.
Yeah, because of snow. Everybody's wearing like many layers. Mm-hmm.
So I think that is the closest that I ever got to Russia.
I bet there are a lot of Russians, like students or people who are doing business here.
And all over Harbin, you hear music playing, Russian music.
Yeah.
And I bought Matryoshka dolls.
I don't know what it is.
Doll nests. Those little doll nests.
You got one.
Yes, I have. Bookshelf. I have some of them. But you get big ones, as big as a door. Huge ones. And I suppose they're quite expensive.
Yes, I'm thinking about it.
And then I've been to Xi'an. I love Xi'an. Xi'an is a beautiful city. I went there for about a week. And also, I want to see the Bingmayong.
Yeah, the Terracotta Warrior.
Yeah. I went there, and that is absolutely an eye-opener. Those pits, 3 pits that you've seen there, it is absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So how was the food there? Have you ever tried the local food?
Yes, I did. Well, I don't know I forgot the name, but the noodles with the beef inside or with the scallop that you eat.
I think it's hula tang or...
That is the Muslim street.
Muslim street. Yeah.
Yes, I've tried that.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought some farmer paintings.
Yeah.
I'm very much into art. I like art very much.
Yeah, I can see in your apartment, there's so many arts.
Yes,
art. So many objects you brought home from different parts of the world.
And that's what I do. Whenever I go in your country, wherever else in the world, I like to collect things. I buy cheap things like Bingxiang Tie, fridge magnets.
Yeah, the magnet.
And postcards and those things and books. I try to buy a book from every place where I go. Because my photography is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to refer back to books. Because you cannot remember every place that you've been to and where you went.
Yeah.
And last, I think it was in 2012, 2013, I did the bold step and I took a Chinese tour group to the Three Gorges Dam on the Yangtze River. But that was an ordeal, I'm telling you. I was the only foreigner, the only Lawai, and none of those people could speak English. And of course, I couldn't speak Chinese. But we got along like a house on fire. People were so protective towards me. And wherever we go and wherever things, they just wave at me and just say, Lawai, 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 Lawai. And then I need to follow them.
Yeah, but you know this word.
Lawai. I knew this word. Yeah, by then I knew the word Lawai. Mm-hmm. So I knew that they were talking about me.
So why did you choose to join the Chinese tour group?
I wanted to experience the authentic Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? People from other countries now, I can only talk about South Africa, they say they come to China and they've been here.
Yeah.
People coming to China, they live in 5-star hotels. They eat the best food there is.
Yeah, the fancy restaurant.
They have a tour guide. They take them for shopping wherever, for the expensive places.
Yeah.
They go to the beautiful tourist attractions like the Great Wall, the Xi'an and Shanghai.
Yeah.
Then they fly back to South Africa, wherever, and then they say they've been in China. That's not the true China.
Yeah, that's very touristy.
Yes, I wanted to experience the smells, the sound, the visual things of real, real China.
Yeah, I would do the same thing like
that. That is what I want. It is a challenge for me, and it's also very exciting to do that.
And also, maybe it's a little bit cheaper.
Of course, it's much more cheaper.
If you're a foreigner, they're going to charge
you a
bit more.
On the pocket, it is very nice, I have to say. That's one of the things that I like as well. So that was an eye-opener for me and to experience that. And I've been to other tour places too, like Beijing. I've been there twice now.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I love Beijing, but I don't want to live there.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's too many foreigners.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely too many foreigners.
Quite expensive.
In Beijing or Shanghai.
Yeah. Pace of life is not as laid back as here in Chengdu.
No.
I love Chengdu. You know what? You walk in Chengdu in the middle of the summer and you see people playing mahjong in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And cars just go around them.
Yeah.
Especially old people. That is amazing.
Yeah. But Beijing and Shanghai, no.
No.
The pace of life is very fast. People don't have to rush to work.
No. Can you play mahjong?
Yeah, I can definitely play mahjong
since
I was a kid.
I've tried it once. It was a disaster.
Yeah. I think a lot of Chinese people, we know how to play mahjong from our parents or grandparents.
Yes.
So when I was a little kid, I always go to the tea houses where my grandparents or some other senior people, they're playing mahjong there. So I would stand there. I will watch them how play the mahjong.
Yeah.
And then the only reason I want to go there,
quickly.
Yeah, because I want the pocket money from my grandparents. If they don't give me, I will tell other people what kind of they need.
Yes.
So they will, okay, give you five jiao or 1 yuan, 1 RMB.
That's very ingenious.
And then I would got the money, I would buy the snacks and just left. And somehow you just go there gradually, you pick up how to play mahjong.
You do, without even realizing it.
No. And then sometimes my grandparents say, hey, do you got the minute? We can play mahjong together. And then we play together. And definitely, they will give me some pocket money for accompanying them.
Yes.
That's how people...
But don't you have to have a lot of maths when you play mahjong?
No, you don't need that kind of mathematics.
When I came to Chengdu, of course, and I wanted to... The first thing that I did was to go to the Panda Research Base Center to see the pandas, because I've never seen pandas in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that I went to is to see the face-changing opera. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then people were playing a lot of mahjong, and then I decided I'm going to buy myself a mahjong set.
Yeah, so I saw a mahjong set.
Yes, a very small one. So I did, but I've never opened it. I've never played with it. It's just a souvenir in my home now.
Do you want to learn how to play mahjong?
No, not
for I can me. Teach you.
Oh, thank you.
For free.
Okay, thank
That's
you.
It's kind of easy to pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I'm a slow learner.
Yeah, I'm patient. I'm a teacher.
I'm a teacher too.
Yeah. So I think maybe you can play mahjong. Next time you can play with some other Chinese.
Okay. And I can ask money. We can gamble.
Maybe just for
a little bit. For
a little bit. No. Yeah. And then maybe you have a better connection with all the people. Yes.
Yeah, that's an idea.
Yeah.
That's
we should try that after the podcast.
Yes.
Okay. That's really good.
I think that sounds like fun.
Yeah. So I know you're IELTS teacher, right? That's how you make it for a living. So basically, do you like the job?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, it was a little bit different from teaching in South Africa because you don't know what to expect from the students. But now Chinese students is no different from other students around the world. You get the better ones, you get the good ones, you get the naughty ones, you get the cute ones.
Yeah.
IELTS for me was also a learning curve. I've learned so much as the students has learned. So what they didn't know, one hand was helping the other hand. But now I'm very confident and I can do it with my eyes closed.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes it very interesting is the topics and the questions is repeated. It becomes boring. It becomes stale.
Yeah.
But the reaction that you get from your students
is
always different.
Yes.
And there the nice thing comes from. So you always have these funny situations perhaps or these serious situations in class.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, I didn't know how to handle those. And gradually you just relax and you see what is the atmosphere of the class, and now it is fun.
Yeah, I think I got a feeling like you did. I used to be an IELTS teacher.
Yes.
And then I teach speaking part.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, you know, topic is kind of the same.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I feel like the questions or topics kind of stupid. Like nobody's going to like ask you these kind of questions in your daily life.
No, they don't do that. And for the students, it might be very weird. And I also tell my students, you know what? It might be a silly question that has been asked, but you cannot give a silly answer.
Mm-hmm.
And they might cheat you. They do it for a purpose to see what is your reaction.
Mm-hmm.
How do you respond? For example, do you like planting trees? We live in a city where we don't have places to plant trees. And none of the students, they never think about a tree.
Yeah.
We see it every day, but you don't really recognize or think of stop and say, hello, tree. My name is Chris. How are you? We don't do that.
Yeah.
So they find it a little bit difficult.
But you have to teach them how to
answer
the
question. You have to teach them. And sometimes we as teachers, if you go through the list before you start your class, you also come across and you think, what is this question about? What is this question about? No.
Yeah, it's nonsense.
So it's also funny. It's very nonsense. But it is also a challenging thing.
Yes.
And there's also some questions sometimes that I don't even know how to answer them. So you have to do some a little bit of research or swatting up and whatever.
So are there like any funny moments happen?
Oh, yes. Many funny
moments.
With
the students?
Yes. Yes. Oh, many, many, many funny moments. I can tell you about two scenarios. One day in class, we were talking about animals and we were talking about house domestic pets.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked this lady in the class, I said, what do you call a baby cat? And she was looking at me and she very seriously and she responded, Hello Kitty. Which I found actually very, very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another scenario that happened or another incident that happened then. You know, if you have new students in the class in the beginning introduction, you ask
definitely.
The students, what is mm-hmm. your name? And this particular day, I had a class with a lot of students, about 30 students. And as a teacher, you have to remember all their names. Now, I cannot remember Chinese names. So they must have English names.
Yes.
So I asked, row by row, what is your name? What is your name? They gave me the names and I tried to remember that. And I came to this particular guy and I asked him, what is your name? And he said, my name is Sorry. And
sorry?
Yes, sorry.
Like, I'm sorry, sorry.
Yes. And I thought this guy didn't hear me very clearly. And I repeated the question and I said, what is your name? And he looked at me and he said, my
sorry.
Name is Sorry. And I thought, this guy doesn't understand me. What am I going to do with him?
Mm-hmm.
And then...
You figured out.
No, I didn't.
If you're his
I was
name
so
is sorry.
Stupid. No, I did not. And then I said in a very, not a sarcastic way, but I wanted him to understand what I was saying, to follow. And I said, what is
your
name?
Like a robot.
Yes. And he looked at me very seriously. He said to me, my name is Sorry. I felt so guawatsa. And then I said, why do you call yourself Sorry? He says, I say sorry for everything.
Okay.
So I changed his name immediately.
I think I got the same feelings like I'm Chinese, right? But
I should
it's
hope
hard.
You are Chinese, yes.
Yes, definitely.
You look like Chinese.
Yes.
Are you
it's
from-
hard for me to remember Chinese names. We have so many different Chinese names. You know, family name.
Yes.
You know, the given names.
Yes.
So I always ask my students, what are their English names? It's kind of easier for me to remember. In like David, Mark, Alex,
because
know,
for me,
it's very common.
If you give me your Chinese name and a woman gives her Chinese name to me, it sounds similar to me.
Yeah,
I cannot differentiate between the two, so I always ask them. And many students they do not have an English name, so I always ask them, give me your Chinese names, and then I try to give a name that is closely to their Chinese name.
Yeah. So are there any like weird names for you?
Oh yes. I had boys in my class with a sorry.
Sorry.
I had one guy in my class whose name was Zero.
Zero.
I asked, why Zero? I says, why is your name Ling? He says, because I don't know what to call myself. And then I had a group of students, girls in my class, but I think they were they lived together in a dormitory.
Mm-hmm.
They were 11, 12, and 13.
You mean the number?
The names.
The name.
I said, what's your name? She says, my name is 11. The next one, 12, and the 13. And
it sounds like they're like spy.
Yeah. And keeping with numbers, I had one day in my class, a girl entered my class and I asked her, what is your name? And she says, 11. And just after that, a boy came into the class and I asked him, what is your name? And he says, my name is Seven. So I had a 7-Eleven in my class.
So I think some of them maybe choose the number, the lucky number.
Yeah.
They think, oh, Seven is good. So that's why I choose Seven.
But other weird names like cucumber or onion or salad or potato, I had them all. I'm just looking for tomato. I have never had the tomato in my class.
You will find out. Yeah. So like, how long have you been teaching in China?
12 years that I've
12
been
teaching. 12
years. Yeah, 12 years that I've been teaching.
So like, do you think anything you can give from the experience as an ex-teacher?
It enriched my mind tremendously. Yeah. I've learned a lot of, and I learned a lot about your culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned a lot about tradition and heritage in China, which I did not know. So it is actually safe to say that I know a little bit more about your history and your culture now, and I know how people work. When I go back to South Africa, people usually ask me, what is China like? What is China like? What do you experience there? And they say, too many people, too dirty. And now living here in China, as I said earlier, people have a misinterpretation of what your country is like. It's completely different.
Yeah, yeah.
For one, the cities are so clean. South Africa is not very clean.
Mm-hmm.
China is a clean country. I don't know in the rural areas. I don't have the opportunity to travel to rural areas that much. But here in the cities, everything is spick span.
I don't know. I think we still have a lot of stereotype or misconception about anything, right? Mm. Like we Chinese or I have like stereotype about many things.
Yes, of course.
Like I still remember before I went to America, I have the stereotype about American, about Texans especially. I think, oh, everybody has guns. And also, you know, people in Texas maybe are rednecks. They don't have real education. Maybe they're rude. They're not friendly to Chinese people. Then I went there. It turned out it's a little bit different from what I thought before.
Sure.
Have
you ever traveled to South Africa?
No.
Never had the opportunity.
But I think my original plan is I want to start traveling from Cairo to Cape Town.
To Cape Town, all the way from down Africa.
Yeah, but I knew I got the grand tour from China, you know, to Moscow, to Europe, to Africa. And then I got a bit tired. So I want to go back. And then I choose to
do it on
travel
your own from Cairo to Cape Town?
No. That was my original plan, but I canceled it. I went east to Lebanon, to Dubai, to India, and then COVID-19 happened.
Because some African countries is a little bit dangerous to travel through.
I still remember when I was in Texas. One of my friends, you know, took me to the church.
Yes.
And my stereotype about church is like very traditional or conventional.
Yes.
But that church, it really blew my mind. They told me the church is okay with gay marriage. So like, yeah, that really changed my mind. Every churches are not okay with gay marriage. Some churches are okay.
Yeah, it's open in South Africa too.
Yeah, so I think still like, oh my God, when I'm traveling, it really changed my mind.
Yeah.
It changed my, misconception or stereotype at one place.
Yeah.
And then I know I will be less judgmental about anything.
So, of course.
Yes.
Have you ever been to a gay pride?
No.
Never participated in a pride.
But I went to the San Francisco. There's a street. It's called Castro.
Yeah.
Castro or something like that.
I've never been to America.
So anyway, the whole street is decorated with a rainbow color. Uh-huh. Even the ATM is rainbow color.
Really?
The street, the sidewalk.
That's interesting.
There's like huge rainbow flag.
The zebra crossings is also rainbow flags.
The zebra line. I know it's kind of hard for us Chinese, you know, to learn English because a lot of people, they complain we don't have like good environment. We don't have like, you know, nice atmosphere for English learning. So like based on your experience, what are some of the suggestions you can give to us Chinese English learners?
To learn more better English?
Yes. I think a lot of people, we have kind of psychological or mental stereotype.
Yeah, you find it very difficult.
We're very shy. You know, we think, oh, we're not good enough. Like every time, you know, you start talking to Chinese, some of the Chinese will say, oh, I'm sorry, my English is really poor or
yes,
really bad.
That's
they
a
always
stereotype.
Start, you know, with this sentence.
And actually, it is not true. You learn from your mistakes. I always say, if my Chinese level is at the point where some of the students' English level is, I will be a very happy man.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not possible at the moment. To learn better English, you don't really have the opportunity to speak English outside of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it difficult for people to learn, especially for the younger people. They don't have that environment, so they have to create it for themselves.
Yeah.
So my suggestion is start reading in English. You don't have to read a novel, of course, but mm-hmm. try to find something that you're interested in, like Harry Potter, perhaps. That is good English. I'm not a Harry Potter fan, but there you will come across words that you've never seen before or ideas. And that is how people can learn. And try to speak to one another in English, although you make mistakes.
Yeah.
That is what people do, what you have to do to learn English. Take the bull by the horns and yeah. do it.
Yeah, I think that's also my suggestion. So I would tell my students or some other people yeah, who
try.
Want to learn English, it's like maybe just start with your interest.
Yes, and
if
also,
you like a movie, you can watch English
and tell
movies.
Yourself, I find it a little bit difficult and it is a bit challenging for me, but never tell yourself, I cannot do it.
No.
If you do that, your brain tells you later on, I cannot do this anymore.
Mm.
Then you believe yourself. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Try to do it at least.
Yeah.
You will be amazed at what people are capable of. So that is my suggestion to Chinese students that would like to learn English. And you never know what opportunity you might get.
Yeah. So how did you learn English? Like when were
the same.
Kid?
I started learning English at the age of 8 or 9 years old. And
wow.
in the beginning, I didn't want to. But in school, you have to, of course.
Yeah.
And I never actually thought that I would use English in a daily life. Now it is my bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
Learning English in the beginning was very difficult. But for me, I think it was just, it came a little bit natural. I didn't find it too difficult. Grammar for English and for Afrikaans, my language, my mother tongue, there's not too much differences there. So it is easier to pick up. But Chinese is difficult to learn.
Yes, it's a whole different system.
Your tones.
And yeah, the
then
tones.
You can make terrible, embarrassing mistakes.
Oh, definitely. I think a lot of foreigners, they
yeah.
made embarrassing moments because of the tones.
And you guys speak so fast. If I want to follow a Chinese conversation, I cannot. Now, even today, it is difficult for me to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I can pick up a word one or two, and then I know what you're talking about, but I don't follow the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But body language, that gives you...
Works everywhere.
That gives you away. I always yeah. know when somebody's talking about me. Then they say, how do you know? How do you know? And say, your body betrays you.
Yes.
Your body
it's
betrays
kind of
you.
Like the, how to say, the background information
yes.
you can get
yeah.
from the context, the body language,
because
the gestures.
We as teachers, we train to do that.
Yeah.
That's part
or
of
expressions
our
from the face.
Yeah,
and you
that's
know
part of our training. You pick it up very quickly.
So you're mentioning some like embarrassing or awkward moment like before. So I'm a very curious about, do you have any more stories about awkward or embarrassing moment in your life in Chengdu or China?
Yes, I have. But most of them I cannot repeat to you because it's really embarrassing and it is below the belt,
mm-hmm.
if I can mention that. But I will tell you about one.
If you tell me one, I will buy you a beer. If you tell me two, I'll buy you two beers.
Well, that is very flattering.
that's
very tempting.
you can tell us like 10 jokes. I'll give like 10 beers.
Now, I'll tell you a nice one that happened
okay.
to me. Perhaps not that funny, but a nice one. When I was teaching in Changjiagang at the university, at once, I live in the dormitory, and there is something like a house mother. And she was in charge of all the repairs and those things to get the people inside of your dormitory room or whatever. And every morning I had to leave my key. If I go to class, I have to give my key to her so that if they want to repair something in my apartment, that they can
just
have access.
Yeah.
And one day I did that, of course. And one afternoon I came back and to get my key. But luckily for me, I had a Chinese teacher with me. And I wanted to impress my Chinese teacher of the little bit of Chinese that I know. I wanted to say to her when she handed me the key, thank you very much. But that was just the time that I started
learning Chinese.
Chinese yeah. a little bit and I wanted to say xie xie ni. And it came completely wrong. And I said to her, hu ai ni.
So you just like remember the wrong way. Like,
yes.
Like,
and he said to me, did you know what you've said to her? And she was just blushing and she said to me, yeah, I need.
Yeah, I think Chinese people are very, like, a little bit shy.
Yes, so that's but he says you flushed. Love her. I said, but I do love her.
Okay.
But I, my actual fact that I wanted to say was, she, she, ni.
Yeah.
And but, not, wo, I, ni.
Yeah, but she understand that, maybe.
She understand my meaning. Mm-hmm. And from then on, whenever she saw me and I handed the key, she was so friendly, just smiling.
So do you think, like, probably sometimes you got embarrassed a moment, right?
Yeah.
But after that, do you think you have more connection? Like, it, because,
it,
like,
it breaks the ice. It breaks yes, the ice for
yes,
people.
Yes, make yeah. you get closer with each other.
It does. It does.
But at that time, it's kind of embarrassing for both of you, or maybe...
It depends what the situation is. Mm-hmm. You know what? If it's between guys, it is okay. But if there's women involved oh. there, perhaps sometimes it's a little bit embarrassing.
Yeah.
But I think men all over the world can understand
yeah.
the embarrassing the moment. And you laugh about it and you forget it about it and you go mm-hmm. on. Yes, but awkward things has happened to me yeah. In the past. And which I find is a learning curve and breaking the ice, as I said, and you do get closer together. I've made, this might but not be very appropriate, but I always say I've made a toilet friend.
Toilet friend?
Yes, I went to a WC one day. You, of course, nature was calling. And I was standing there and a guy just came and he was stood next to me. And then he looked at me and he realized that I'm a Lawai and we just start speaking to another.
Oh my God, it's
so
weird.
He asked me, where are you from and what is your name? And it's an awkward position. We're standing there and we're yeah. doing our business and then... You zip up and you wash your hands and there you go. And we were still speaking. And today we're very good friends.
Wow.
So I call him my toilet friend.
Mm.
That has never happened to me in South
yeah,
Africa.
Yeah, I think you have like a lot of like awkward moments, right?
Yeah.
But maybe after that, we give you the serendipity.
Yeah,
you make you new friends. You get closer to the
yeah.
people.
Yeah. I'm very sociable. I like to socialize in China. And if I can make another toilet friend, I will be very happy.
So you just earned yourself 2 beers.
Thank you very much.
Do you want more?
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. Two is enough.
Okay, I think 2 beers is enough. Okay, after this, we're going to definitely
thank you.
Go outside for some barbecue and beers.
Thank you.
And
I
also, like,
that.
You have been here for 12 years, obviously. So do you think you have the, or how to say it, what do you think is the hardest part of life in Chengdu or China?
It's definitely the language barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And to get used to the people's behavior. That, for me, was difficult. And the closeness... because of your population, there's no personal space.
Oh,
there's no personal space. And people just cut in line.
The
people
privacy.
Do things and they speak very loudly. And for example, you take a bus and everyone is talking in the bus, or sometimes the bus is quiet, but someone will speak in the bus on their telephone and
mm-hmm.
everyone will hear the conversation.
Yes.
Of course, I don't understand what they're saying. That for me was a little bit difficult in the beginning, but you get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
You do. But the personal space for me was, that was the issue.
You could never overcome that.
No, not overcome with that. That was the issue. And the loudness, the shouting. And the, but you realize this is the largest population in the world.
Yeah.
And you also know if you don't do that, you won't get anywhere. In the beginning, when I went to a restaurant with Chinese friends, some of my friends, after we had dinner, they will just say, "Fuya!" And I said, "What are you doing? Why are you shouting at these people? Is something yeah. wrong? Is the place on fire?"
Mm-hmm.
And my friends will tell me, "No, that's the way that we do."
Yeah.
And then the waiter will come running and ask if you need something.
Yeah. Otherwise, they will never.
No. Otherwise, they will not hear. But now I do the same.
Yeah, you do the same.
I go and I say, "Fuya, my dan, sai dan." And yeah. I don't even feel guilty about it. And they just say, "Yeah, yeah."
I think that's the things like. When you're in Rome, you should do whatever
you do.
Romans
what does Romans do? Yeah.
Yes.
You have to. You have to adapt to that. And that is part of fun living in your country because you become more Chinese. Not in the sense of the word really Chinese, but you feel more welcomed. You feel more adaptable. You feel more part of society. You feel more appreciated.
You mentioned that language, maybe it's kind of the, you know, the barriers for you. So are you working your Chinese or?
Oh, you know what, Rice Panda, in all honesty, I have to tell you, because English is my second language and it's not an excuse. I could have learned Chinese many years ago. But as I said, my Chinese is like a 2-3-year-old, 5-year-old. You know, as a teacher, sometimes you have to, not sometimes, always, you have to focus for a lot of
things.
Students in the class.
Yes.
And then you come home, you're really mentally exhausted. And sometimes I am. I'm really mentally exhausted. But that's not an excuse not to learn Chinese. The bit of Chinese that I do know is what is things that I pick up from you guys as friends and also from students. And I use it. I know a lot of Chinese words, but to put them in sentences...
It's kind of hard.
It's difficult.
But you know the phrases or the words.
Yeah, and I've learned the Chinese dialect like Guawatsa and Yaode. And Yaode gets you around pretty far here in Chengdu.
Yeah.
Especially with the taxi drivers.
If you like speak to people in Sichuan dialect, even some like phrases or words, people will react like, whoa.
At least this person is trying something. And then the attitude changes completely because they feel more at ease.
Yes.
And then... and
maybe they will treat you better.
Well, I don't expect that. But I don't want people to treat me better. But people do treat me very nice in your country. So I'm very happy to be a Lao Bai.
Mm-hmm.
But you should always also remember for us as foreigners, and especially for me as a foreigner living in your country, social problems like unemployment and crime rate and those things doesn't affect me.
Mm-hmm.
I have a job. I have a place to stay. I have my friends. I have clothes. I have food to eat. So those things, politics and religion and all those things that are very sensitive in China, does not affect me.
Mm-hmm.
So I live in a very, very small world that is protected.
Yeah.
And that makes China for me very romantic, actually.
So, like, what would you do in your spare time in China?
I like to go to movies with my friends or dining out. You can see too much gaga.
Too much gaga.
Say. Yeah, I'm too fat. Too much gaga.
Too much gaga.
I like to go to book clubs or reading or something like that, and traveling, of course. That's my life in China. I also like to paint. I'm a mediocre amateur painter, actually. And I like to write poems sometimes just to...
Yeah, I just saw your, like...
Yeah, I just wrote a poem
like yesterday on WeChat Moment.
This morning
I wrote
a poem. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Do you practice a lot? I mean, the poem?
No, I don't know it by heart now. And next time we can talk about it.
So
I can recite the
poem. So you have the heart of art.
That's what I try to do. It gives me joy. It gives me pleasure. It's my solace. I don't always want to be outside and when it is raining or whatever and stay indoors, and especially during Spring Festival when everyone is traveling. Most of my friends are gone then. Most Spring Festivals I will be in China. So that is my pastime, and I love it, and I love reading. I can devour books.
Yeah, I can see at your apartment, there's so many books. Do you know how many books you have here?
Well, I've actually never counted them, but it is safe to say about 1,000.
1,000?
Yeah. Back home, I have about 2,000, 3,000 books.
So what are we going to do after you move?
I was thinking of donating it all to you.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Will you take it, all the English books?
Yes, I love reading. Yes, I can give it to my listeners.
I give it to you now. You want to distribute to other
people.
Okay, thank you.
One or two.
That makes me feel better. Thank you. I feel better now.
Yeah. So I have a big apartment to stock your books.
You have to, unfortunately.
Oh, that's very expensive. I can't afford it.
I'm sorry to hear about your money problems.
So, like, as a newcomer in China, do you still remember how did you fit in China many years ago?
As I said earlier on, I came here with an open mind. So I was open to almost everything. And my South African friend helped me a lot. So, and from him, he introduced me to other Chinese people, which I make friends. And as you know, that's how we do it. You meet other people, you might not like this person, but you might like his or her friend. And that's how you build up your circle of friends. And I'm in a very fortunate position that I have very dear friends that I love very much, which is my support system in China. Without them, I would not be able to live here.
Yeah, I think...
Like you guys, I cannot do it on my own.
So first you make friends through friends.
You have to make friends.
And then you have to find your community.
Yes. And you have to be open to everything. As a foreigner coming here, people won't come to you and say, would you be my friend? Would you be my friend? Or what? Some people do that. But you have to reach out to other people as well. Or sometimes you make a friend on the internet or whatever. And then the second word that they tell you is, oh, I love you. I love you so much. They've never even set eyes on you. They don't even know what you look like or your personality is like.
And also, I think you're a bit different. It's like you also have a lot of Chinese friends.
Yes, most of my, majority of my friends are
Chinese.
Do you
think you benefit a lot from your Chinese friends?
I learn a lot from them every day. You guys is teaching a lot, and that is, I think it goes both ways, I suppose. But with our Chinese friends, and I'm now at that stage in my life, if I walk with you in the street and I see a foreigner, I will say, oh, Lawai, Lawai, there's a Lawai, there's a Lawai.
So it's really good, like, when you have a lot of friends, they support you, you know, you can do stuff together, you share,
because,
you learn
from each other. I call it in a very respective way, in a respectful way, you are all my guanxis. You are my small little bunches, yes, and that's very helpful. Mm-hmm. So I try, wherever I go, I try to build up a guanxi in the hospital or in the library or in school or somebody that can order me books. Yeah. Or even I have a guanxi at the local government here in Tianjin Square. Yes, you must have the right connections when you need to do your passport and your visas and all. So I do have a friend that can help me there, but in the right way, of course, in a legal way.
Yeah, so indeed, like Chinese people right now.
Yeah,
you got all the guanxi connections.
I have a yellow heart. Don't you know that?
So next time, if I need help, maybe I will ask for you.
Sure, but not
ask
money.
You for help.
I'm poorer than you.
Okay,
I can help you with books and literature.
Yeah, I would love to collect all your books.
Sure.
And take them home. Okay, one last question. So, like, you have been here for 12 years. I'm not sure if you sometimes get bored or you want to go move to another country. Do you have any plans, future plans? Want to go back to South Africa? That's where your family members are.
Yes, you know what, Panda? Rice Panda, I'm now 55 years old. So, technically speaking, for the next 5 years, I can still live in China. Mm-hmm. Hopefully longer, if I can. If the government's allowed me to do that. But the plan is to go back to South Africa in 5 years' time when I turn 60 and then retire there. So I will indefinitely, I have to go back.
Okay, so still, like, you want to go back?
I have to.
After
Yeah, I
want to
die in my own country.
Yes, that's...
I can die here too. I will be happy. That's fine. You never know when that is going to happen. But if I have a choice, I really would like to die in South Africa.
Home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also you have... lovely apartment. I mean, house.
No, I just bought a house last year.
Can I stay there when I go to South Africa?
Yes, of course, you're more than welcome.
Wow.
I will just ask you about $2,000 per night, but that's okay. You would be able to afford it.
You don't ask money from friends.
No, I will set up a little tent in the garden. You can stay there. And
oh, my God.
And you can
use... It's like your dog?
Yeah, and you can use the bathroom once a day. Yeah.
You're so generous.
But I will take you to the beach. We can walk on the beach. That is fine. I will do that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kawan Shao, you are more than welcome. All my friends are welcome. Not all at once, please. One by one is okay.
So thank you so much for showing up at my podcast show. And I hope that we will have other opportunities to do it again.
Yes, that will be wonderful. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And also, hi friends, if you have any questions for our guest Chris, you can leave comments and I will try to collect them for our guest Chris. And hopefully he will answer some of them soon.
I will.
So, do you have any social account where my listeners can follow you? Not right now. Okay, but you will set up one and then I will add it inside. Yeah, and they will know exactly where to find you.
Yes.
And also, I heard about you start doing the videos, right?
Yes, I have recently started with another good friend of mine doing that. And hopefully soon that will be on the air, as I can say.
Yeah.
So from there, we will take it on further.
So I look forward to seeing that. And
thank you.
I will tell my listeners about your account. Maybe they're interested about you. And then they can find more information about you.
That will be wonderful if I can hear from them.
Yeah, so thank you for
the opportunity.
Being my guest.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have to thank you.
I think after this, you want to kick my ass. Oh my God.
And you have to.
So many questions.
And you owe me two beers. Thank you. Let's go.
Not two beers. 10 beers, I would give you. That's it. Thank you, Chris. That is it. Exactly. Thank you. Hardness.